On this episode of China Unscripted, is Kim Jong-un dead or alive? Well, he's alive, but we recorded this podcast before that news came out. We talked with North Korean defector Yongmi Park about the current situation in North Korea and about why South Koreans find North Korea's murderous dictator cute. Welcome to China Unscripted. I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Jung.
And I'm Matt Ganeshda.
Joining us today is North Korean defector and human rights activist Yongmi Park. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the big question everyone is asking is North Korean leader Kim Jong-un dead or alive?
That is a question I've been also getting all day long too. And I mean, there are a lot of indications that we can see other than what we are hearing from this intelligence that we have in North Korea. So from my intelligence source that I have, is that no, he is very much alive. And if you see for the last 3 years, Kim Jong-un has been going like disappear like this for many, many times. And on average, each time his disappearance took like 20 days. So right now, it's not have been 20 days right now. So we are still in the early stage for Kim Jong-un to come back. But the other indication is that look at just China and South Korea and America. If Kim Jong-un really died, then of course, as Trump says, you know, he knows what is how Kim Jong-un is doing, but he doesn't want to talk about it. He's almost like teasing the media, like, look at you, I'm going to prove all you how you've been wrong about this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what Trump is doing, like talking to CNN, like he always keeps saying, like, you're the fake media. And he's going to say all this fake media made this false rumors about Kim Jong-un's death. And I think that's what he's doing to me, at least. But if Kim Jong-un really dead, I mean, Trump is going to prepare. China is going to dry up the tanks to the border region to, like, you know, prevent migrants coming into China. And South Korea and Japan will be moving so fast because they are not sure who's going to get this nuclear weapon, the button they have. You know, this nuclear weapon is, like, completely exposed to somebody who might not be responsible. There's, like, a big power vacuum. And these neighboring countries have to move really, really fast for the emergency situation happening in North Korea. There might be a civil war. There might be military coming in. Or whoever comes in, there will be a big transition if Kim Jong-un died. But no one is moving anything. No intelligence, no government's doing it.
Well, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Kim Jong-un has disappeared like this before.
Yeah.
But this time he disappeared it was supposed to be his grandfather's birthday, Kim Il-sung. And that's like the biggest national holiday North Korea. So is that unusual for him to disappear during that period?
It can be yes or no, right? It is like the biggest holiday in North Korea. It's called the Day of the Sun. I mean, when Kim Jong-un was born, that is how North Korean calendar begins. We say Juche-won. We don't follow the Jesus Christ calendar. We count our year based on Kim Jong-il's birth. So it is quite a big day for Kim Jong-un to miss. But from the time that when Kim Jong-un took it over, if you think about the long future, I mean, long term, how Kim Jong-un behaved, his like regime behaved, is that in the beginning when he took the power, he did like do a lot of public events, like 130 events, sometimes 5-6 like public events a day, to show that he's in power and he is able to, you know, like take the country from his father. So in the first 3 years, he was extremely busy. And the third, like another 3 years, he was fine. But last 3 years, he's been having less engagement publicly. So let's say 1 year, he had like 130 engagement. One of the years, last 3 years, he had only 70 public events a year.
Well, it sounds like he's recovering from all that hard work he did.
Yeah, or also it can be the sign that he is comfortable. He doesn't feel the threat to be not in the having the complete like control. I mean, I'm sure he had a lot of paranoia because he was like 27 when he came to the power. And there was a lot of uncertainty, though economically things were very difficult. There's a mass pressure, you know, sanction coming from the US. So he had to really work hard to prove that he was able to take in charge. But I think for the last 3 years, he's became more like relaxed. He knows that he got the complete control, that he knows everyone like obeys him. He knows all of this. That's why I think this year he just chose not to attend, because, you know, just him not appearing this day is not going to change that he's like that permanence that, you know, his reputation in North Korea society. I mean, that's at least my analogy.
So he doesn't have to kind of do the show the way that he did before.
Not as much. Mm-hmm. Compared to the beginning, he is doing, he's definitely shows that he's less desperate and less nervous about this. So in the beginning, he... Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was going to ask why you think that this, like all these rumors are coming out now then, if it's not maybe that unusual for him to not come out.
Right. So I do think it could be... So Kim Jong-un has been doing a lot of missile tests, right? But that North Korea's missile test news buried completely by the corona pandemic. Just people didn't pay attention to him. And in order for North Korean regime, that tiny country, to have a leverage over when they have the this diplomatic conversation with the U.S. or other countries, they have to be, you know, they have to get attentions from other countries. That is the only way he can survive. And that is getting attention, to getting all this like major attention from the world. And I think it was very strategic move from the North Korean Kim Jong-un, because he did not make any progress with the summits that he had with Trump. The sanctions hasn't lifted at all. And the country having so much massive now, like economic difficulty, especially because there's borders closed to China, there's no trading happening, and the mass starvation like in the 90s happening again throughout North Korea. He needed something to distract. And I do think also he is not healthy. We all know that. We all know that he's not gonna live long. And I think he is also legitimately scared of getting coronavirus. And the medical team that we heard that was sent to North Korea from China, they didn't like go to help Kim Jong-un out. It was more like Kim Jong-un's bodyguards and the next team. Those people got some of coronavirus, and that's what those medical team sent into. So I think Kim Jong-un is doing this to get some more attention. And when he had ankle-like surgery a few years ago, he was disappeared for 40 days. So what he disappeared this time is not even like anything out of like ordinary. Only thing out of ordinary was that he missing his grandfather's birthday. He never missed the birthdays before. But this year, he's very secure in his like reign. It's been almost a decade. He's been so stable in this in his like regime. So I think that's, I mean, to me at least, and also according to people that I know who work for the intelligence and in the high ranking, I think that's what they completely think is going to happen.
Now, you mentioned that he's, you know, doing a pretty stable job. Would you say he's doing a relatively competent job as a murderous dictator?
Yeah, he's being an excellent dictator. It's just like, I think he's got to be some kind of example, you know. If there's a dictator like Manuel Book, he should be one. He does excellent job of making even bigger terror and oppression and complete tight control, and also knows how to manipulation of this information. And because there's a leaking out information inside North Korea, and he even knows how to manipulate it.
Well, so, definitely one of the top 10 dictators of all time. Yeah. You know, we were talking about this the other day, you know, mm-hmm. Kim Jong-un, we're basically around the same age as Kim Jong-un, and like none of us are God kings to a hermit kingdom.
Yeah. I've never murdered any of my uncles.
What are we doing with our lives? Is that what you're saying?
I know.
But now you mentioned, well, sort of the elephant in the room, and the elephant is Kim Jong-un himself. He's not a man in great shape. What happens if he does die?
So I think when it comes to North Korea, that anyone says they know exactly what's going to happen, I do think they're lying. I do think there are possibilities, like 3-4 possibilities and scenarios that we can prepare for. And that is, if Kim Jong-un dies, that Kim Il-sung is left from the Kim family, and Kim Jong-un's sons and daughters are extremely young. They are not even 10 yet. So it will at least take another 20 years for them to be eligible to take it over. And who's going to replace that, you know, big period of time and Kim Jong-un is gone? And a lot of media recently was saying that Kim Il-sung is going to replace him. I don't think it's impossible, but very unlikely.
His sister?
Mm-hmm. It's very unlikely for her to replace, because if like really North Korean people is the type of the people just would accept anyone saying, oh, I'm the next dear leader, Kim Jong-un didn't have to bother to look like his grandfather, to do the plastic surgery to look like his grandpa. He gained weight to look like his grandpa. He like, you know, even clapped the hands the way, tried to like look like his grandpa. In the beginning, for him to be accepted to next year later, they had to do so much work to make him look like Kim Il-sung. And with Kim Il-sung, in North Korean history, right, it's not like North Korea never gone through the modernization. There is no term, there's no word for like feminism in North Korea. There's no word for like equality for between genders. So in that society, for somebody 32, she's 32, comes in, and the top elites who are in that main core party is like somewhere between, like, depending on people, like 300 to 600 people. But those people are in their 60s and 70s men. They are not going to be worshiping Kim Il-sung like their god as they do the Kim Jong-un. And when it comes to the general public, there is a saying in North Korea, you know, men are the skies and women is the ground. So the gap between men and women, our position, our status can never be met. That's how far we are. And when I was growing up in North Korea, I was like, I'm like now 26. In 2000, 21st century, there, you know, a lot of my friends' household, they had a special spoon, special rice bowl for their fathers. And when during the holidays we were eating, our relatives coming, there were separate table for men and separate table for women. The little boys can join because they were like men anyway, but girls, no matter how old they were, like women, they could not join the men's table. And this is like when I was growing up in North Korea, while watching Western movies, that is how backwards North Korea is. So for Kim Il-sung, even somehow she has magic power to convince the elites in that older men, but how she's going to possibly convince 25 million that old mindset they kept for this many, many, many decades of history. So, you know, for us to like, even for in the West to get that equality for gender took many, many decades of hard work. It is not going to be just like it happened because Kim Il-sung is going to be the next dear leader. So maybe she can play a role to me. It's like maybe North Korea is going to choose China's direction, more like the party is going to be now center of the power rather than one dictator, right? Like North Korea now, the party doesn't really mean much except Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un is the center of power, but they can move that to the like Communist Party of North Korea. They're going to be in charge and they will rotate the like in a presidency like what China does. And they will pick their prime minister. And Kim Il-sung can be like picked the prime minister by it, but she's never going to be able to completely replace that, you know, the core like personality that we North Korea had till this point.
So Kim Jong-un might be the last dear leader.
He might be the last god for North Koreans, and he will be the last god. It's impossible for them to create that personality again with anyone they have right now. I mean, Kim Il-sung is a woman. She can like never replace that. Like just in our mind as a North Korean, there's no way when we think about their leader, it's like a woman's face coming out. There is no way. And what is lacking with Kim Il-sung is that when Kim Jong-il replaced his first Kim Il-sung, right? It took 20 years for him to be working in public and be known as the successor. it worked like 20 years. With Kim Jong-un, it took less, few years before Kim Jong-il died. But with Kim Il-sung, there was not even one day that Kim Jong-un said, this is my successor and I'm preparing her as the successor. It is not happened so far. So that's why like Kim Il-sung doesn't even have the advantage of known as a successor in the past. And just, she just suddenly comes out like, I'm the successor. No one heard about it before in North Korean society. No one like saw her as it that way. That is why it's like so impossible for her to become the next deal leader for us.
So you mentioned that there were four possible scenarios you'd been thinking of. What are the other scenarios?
So for the party to take it over, like Chinese scenario, and the other scenario, there is going to be more civil war between the elites in Pyongyang, these like military groups. They're going to try to fight for that deal leader seat. No one ever going to do that, but still they're going to try to take the charge of the country and they're going to fight between each other. But then even that scenario is better than Kim Jong-un is alive, is that because even those military dictators comes in, look at South Korea, it is easily replaceable than the God. When it is a God, you don't have to make sense. You don't have to use the same logic, like, believe even if you cannot see it. Because my way is like a higher way. As a humans, you can never understand my level of like, you know, that power. So Kim Jong-un never had to make a sense to people because he was a God. We didn't expect him to act like humans like us. So when the government said you suffer, but we didn't have to question it because God tells us we have to suffer. I mean, who the heck are we that humble as a mere being a human, we question the God. But when the military dictator comes in, we don't see him as a God anymore. And we are going to ask this dictator to behave like humans. We're going to ask the logics, right? So for the military dictator cannot be like behaving as absurd as like the God does. That's why it's going to be easily be challenged by the people and easily being replaced. And once we do a lot of replacement, like South Korea did with a lot of military dictators, eventually they do become democracy, hopefully. You know, North Korea will take their route. But still, like the oppression and complete that fear is never going to be the same way. Because you fear God. Because my case, like when I was growing up, you know, the people say in Bible, like, God knows how many hairs in your head, right? It's like that. Like, I was even afraid to think. But now, with any military dictator cannot replace that complete, that kind of a position. So no one is going to be afraid, you know, think. They are going to be all, like, think freely. And they all know that the dear God cannot hear them. So that's why it's very hard for this military dictatorship to last and also behave the same way that Kim's did.
So you grew up in North Korea. How old were you when you escaped?
I escaped when I was 13 years old.
So when you were a kid, was it very common for, you're saying like everybody in North Korea basically thought that Kim Il-sung was God and Kim Jong-il, who was the leader at the time, was also basically like God. And you just didn't question that at all.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to break out of that mentality after you'd left North Korea?
I mean, really, to be honest, even till these days, I have to keep bringing logic to defend my ideas. So like in North Korean people's heart, Kim Il-sung has a very, very special like place because I think that was a time somehow North Korea did such an amazing job. They did not only plant fear in people's like heart, but they planted respect, love, and this like unbelievable feeling when you like embrace God in your heart. They did that with Kim Il-sung for sure. With Kim Jong-il, less of that, but a lot of fear too. But with Kim Jong-un, it's like entirely fear. People just don't have any love, respect for Kim Jong-un. All they got is fear. So with the first Kim Il-sung, I do think even when I came to America, when I even was writing my book, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, when I, as soon as I see that big smiley face of Kim Il-sung, like my heart warms. I still do that. Like, when I see the monuments, I just like train to feel that way whenever I see, respond to the dear leader that way, right? But like now I remember like, oh, how many people he killed, you know, how he invaded South Korea. my logic kick in, and like I try to defend my feelings like that. And it is, I think that is why it for me was like it didn't take maybe years or like something to happen, but it was more like gradual process of learning of the history, understanding North Korean like politics. And I think that's how it happened gradually, but I don't know exactly when I started understanding fully.
So with North Korean people still feeling this way about Kim Jong-un, how will they respond if he dies, essentially their god dying?
So with Kim Jong-un is different. Kim Jong-un did not plant any love or respect, none of that feelings in people's heart, except other than fear. All he did was fear, right? So whenever Kim took the replace the, you know, the their like previous Kim, they had this period of like a lot of execution to show that, you know, if you rebelled against me, this is how I'm gonna rule. And that is also the reason why Kim Yo-jong is not gonna be able to place Kim Jong-un, because it has been a tradition that Kim Il-sung has to kill like more than like 10,000 people to replace his, like, I mean, in the beginning to become the prominent king. The second Kim Jong-il too, when he was become the successor, he killed more than 10,000 people. With Kim Jong-un, it's like, it's not uncountable. He killed too many. Like, he killed his uncle, right? He killed his half-brother. He killed, like, a big general in his group that he was falling asleep. That's why he's executed as, like, number 10, within number 10 power in North Korea. That's how brutal it is when the regime changes to the other person. So if Kim Yo-jong comes in, the elites know it so well, there will be a blood spreading, and their life is not guaranteed. That is why they are going to be not like supporting Kim Yo-jong to take it over, because like most of them are going to be gone if Kim Yo-jong comes in. So I think with Kim Jong-un, like, people is not going to have to do anything. They'll be just so glad because one of these biggest terror in their life is gone. There's no worries that for North Korean people to be sad about, like, you know, because all Kim Jong-un did was killing, executing people, putting people in jail, making mass surveillance, you know, making more control. And that's all he did the entire his like term.
So these rumors of Kim Jong-un being maybe dead that are spreading outside North Korea, are they spreading inside North Korea too?
Well, I mean, it is spreading among the people who are working outside North Korea, like the people who are in China working for their embassies, who have the access to internet, the people who are working for European, like, I mean, you know, North Korea has a consulates, embassies in all around the world, like in Sweden, in Europe, in China, a lot of people in China from North Korea working there legally, right? Those people do know, and we hear them, like, they are asking us, actually, is it true that dear leader died? And, like, obviously, we don't know exactly. But for them, it's really, like, for them, a lot of times, they all know the truth, right? The North Korean elites, they go to school in Switzerland like Kim Jong-un did. It's not like these elites don't know anything about the rest of the world, like the people in North Korea, in general public, but the things that didn't make them to escape and still supporting this regime is their status they get by the system. They know so well if the system collapses and if they go to the South Korea, they are going to be just equal person who, you know, sweeps the floor, who like does a part-time job in a grocery store. There's no more royalty. There's no more like Seongbun status system working in other country. And they want that status. They want that special like status they have. And also, if they do try to escape because Kim Jong-un dead, they have left their family members back in North Korea. So I think that's why, it doesn't really matter what elites think now. It matters long term, but right now, They do know the news and they do curious about it, but it's not like they do. So far, we know they are not trying to escape or doing anything to harm the regime right now. And the people in North Korea, in the border regions that we talk to them and they know now, but like they actually so afraid that because all these phones are being heard and like being like tracked down and being jammed. So they actually tell us, don't talk to me about the deal later. Because when you get caught, the conversation that you had from the foreign person really determines what you're just talking about, you know, sending you some clothes or snacks or fruits from China, or were you just talking about the really important stuff like politics? Then you like death rate or like, you know, prison level changes. So a lot of times they don't even like want to hear about the news that's happening to Kim Jong-un right now.
Wow. So do you see a scenario where China actually goes into North Korea with their military, or South Korea goes into North Korea with their military?
North Korea is the basically result of disagreements between China and America, right? Mm-hmm. America has been always consistent that North Korea becomes part of South Korea, like South Korea become a democratic freedom country. And China always wanted the U.S. base to be out of South Korea and North Korea to be like themselves, maintaining the party, maintaining the control, no freedom, no political freedom, but economically open. But recently, what we see is that China also understands North Korea does a lot of harm to Chinese status because of North Korea. Japan keeps saying, oh, we are under the threat of North Korea. We have to arm ourselves. We need a stronger like weapon. We need more like military. And South Korea too, like we need to exercise joint exercise with the US because like North Korea is threatening us. So North Korea making so many neighboring countries outside of China strong military countries. And China does not like that Japan is getting stronger military-wise. And South Korea that joins like exercise the U.S. And as you know, that Trump does not like the foreign U.S. bases in other countries. He have talked about so many times he wanted to bring the U.S. base from South Korea to back to America, right? So I think right now with North Korea, that China and the U.S. agrees on it more, that they do both acknowledge North Korea's a problem. And I think America is like less insisting that North Korea to be like South Korea. So for alternative, another scenario would be that, like, did you hear about the group called Free Joseon that who went into Spain, like North Korean embassy?
Yeah, we've heard about that, but fill it in for the audience.
Right. So that is like the another alternative to be North Korea is that, you know, in North Korea, we don't call ourselves like Hanguk or Korea. We call ourselves Joseon. Mm. And that is the name of for North Korean people. And I used to say like, I'm like a Joseon like person. I didn't say I'm Korean, right? So for them, for China and America both agrees like for North Korea to be independently the removing this scheme by changing the system gradually and does not assimilate to South Korea right away and just taking gradual step on their own. And for the UN to come in and guard the DMZ and, you know, Korea like just gets a better like government that feeds people and not as like fully democracy, but gonna take the like really long-term transition for that way. And I think that is what I heard that recently that U.S. and China both agree on, that they do realize that, you know, America realized that it might be impossible for North Korea to completely be like South Korea because China will not that happen. And China also knows that they cannot maintain North Korea like what it is currently because it causes so much problem for them.
So you mentioned the U.S. would like North Korea to be more like South Korea. And China would like North Korea to be more like China.
China.
Mm-hmm. The South Korean president, Moon Jae-in, has talked a lot about reunification.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the South Korean government views the changes that should happen in North Korea?
Korea, even though it's a democracy, the president has so much power and there's not much division with the power in this. And also depending on who's the president, which party he's in. With the previous Park Geun-hye was really like very strong saying like, no, we don't accept this dictatorship. We want the democracy in North. But now with Moon Jae-in, he's okay with the system. He's okay with this oppression and dictatorship. And he's more like, we accept the difference. That's what he's saying. Like, oh, we accept the diversity of ideas and the difference that we have. the system difference between the North and the South. But, you know, like, think about it. How can be like the dictatorship and democracy coexist in the same country? But for Moon Jae-in, he wants to be coexist in the same country. So what they are saying is more like, it's not like American level, but there is a reunification, but so people can go back and forth more easily. But then they both accept both system in the South and the North. So no one challenges each other's system.
You're saying that the South Korean president, Moon Jae-in, considers the dictatorship and democracy to just be like a diversity of ideas, and they're both equally good?
Yeah, that's literally said. It's not like, he doesn't even say dictatorship. He's just like, we are just different. And for us to be, you know, like better moving forward, we have to accept the differences. If for him, just like dictatorship and democracy is a mere difference. That's how he puts it. And like, you know, we just don't challenge each other. You know, all ideas are good. All diversity is great. So we should accept this diversity that we have in Korean Peninsula.
I love diversity myself.
Oh, my gosh.
So South Korea just had elections where Moon's kind of party got control of the parliament. So this seems like it's not just Moon who has this view.
No, entire country and most of the country. Most of the young people, it is most of people do worship Kim Jong. I mean, like, you have no idea. There's so many South Korean university students worship Kim Jong Un, and they find Kim Jong Un to be like attractive.
What?
And they talk about how cute he is and how nice the regime is. I mean, they don't say regime. They like North Korean government is, and they are like in love with the North Korean government right now. So I don't know how this is even possible in South Korea, but somehow people are like, they just like Kim Jong-un in the South.
I got to ask about this, and I don't know if this is related, but you know that the show Crash Landing on You?
Yeah.
Is this kind of like North Korean propaganda in a way?
It absolutely is. It is completely humanizing the system. It's not humanizing people. It's just humanizing the system.
So what is Crash Landing for you?
It's a Crash Landing on your Netflix series, right?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's a Korean TV series where this like Korean heiress of like one of those like big chaebol, like, you know, huge conglomerates, like she gets caught in a tornado and accidentally parachutes into North Korea and literally crash lands on a North Korean soldier. And then they fall in
love. Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta look it up on Netflix. It's like massive thing. Like everyone, not only like South Koreans, like everyone in the world watching the Crash Landing on You and asking me, is this real? And like, if that's real, why did I have to cross the desert to be free? I mean, like, I mean, one good thing is showing North Koreans, you know, not in the light of just becoming like those, you know, people marching on the square looking like robots and also all starved to death, like that kind of face, right? That they did kind of normalize the look of North Korea. But that is like only 1% that showed it good. The rest of the 99% is like completely forced idea of this brutal dictatorship. It's like it romanticizes dictatorship almost and the system. And it almost like completely buries the real suffering and difficulty that people are facing. So now people like fantasize about North Korea. I mean, people, you know how many people are saying, oh, it's a fascinating, North Korea is so such a my fascination. That someone's misery became someone's like fascination, right? Like, can you imagine someone saying, like, a Holocaust is my fascination? How fascinating the Holocaust was. Like, no one would say that to, like, anyone. That would be a big problem. But somehow, North Korea, even though the UN security, like, the report said, the only resemblance we can find on our history that what is happening to North Korean people is, like, Holocaust. And that is the only resemblance they can find. And that is how bad it is. The UN said that came out.
I mean, if anyone ever doubted that communist subversion was real, South Koreans think Kim Jong-un is cute.
Yep.
That's
he is.
How did that happen?
Because of the moon. I mean, so many people follow, adore Moon Jae-in, right? And especially young people. And but the thing is that it's not only in like in South Korea that people are fascinated by, I mean, socialists like DPRK. You know how many people in Europe, in America, does that too?
Yes.
They sympathize North Korea so much, even in America right now where we are. This is a global, I mean, should I say pandemic or global like a trend right now? Being like in love with Kim Jong-un and being like sympathizing to this system. So it is such a like, I don't know what's happening to their brains, but in so many world leaders, you know, think of course North Korea is better than America, the USA, you know, USA should be the worst country in their view. And they think, you know, the US has no right to criticize North Korea because the US is so bad. It's just like unthinkable how they talk about this. I have no clue what's really happening in North Korea. And I just often say to them, like, if you think it's really paradise on earth, why don't you go to like just immigrate to North Korea? Like, everyone in this world wants to come to America, even though they hate it. They say it's not a good country, but everyone dying to come to this country and get a visa and get a green card, right? But they know when they're trying to do that with North Korea, but they just talk that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because you escaped North Korea when you were 13 and like, mm-hmm. like you could never go back because they basically kill you, right?
But even if I can go back, I would not go back if the system doesn't change. Of course, they're going to execute me right away, or they can actually even kill me right now. Like, because I have spoken out against the regime publicly, even my after the escape, I became on the target list of the regime. And Kim Jong-un knows me. He hates me. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I know, it's an honor for me to be known. In North Korea, actually, if you met your leader in your lifetime and taken a picture of you, of it, because you met the God, right? You met the sun. You are like very preserved, the kind of treasure for the nation. You get a lot of privileges.
Like Dennis Rodman, he's a treasure of North Korea.
I think so.
Not just of North Korea, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
Well, so I'm curious, like, if in South Korea they have this view of North Korea, how are they viewing China?
They are very pro-China with Moon Jae-in. They are very sympathetic to Chinese regime, the Communist Party. And the main characteristic of the Democratic Party, like in South Korea, is they are anti-America. Anything to do with anti-West, anti-America. And they are pro-China, pro-North Korean regime. And so now Moon Jae-in became such a, I mean, right? They did not even shut down the like a border with China, even though in the beginning with the Wuhan virus coming into South Korea, right? That's how they all got the pandemic in South
Wuhan
Korea.
Wuhan virus is racist. Please refer to it as the America virus.
Okay. Wow, it's such a strange. I mean, it started from Wuhan, so that's why we call it Wuhan virus. But anyway, let's say it's just corona. But so when this it comes from Wuhan, South Korea still maintained opening the border, I mean, the airport, and then all these Chinese students still able to came to South Korea and study there, and how like all this disease was spreading in South Korea. But I mean, they got it under control, but still it was spreading so much in the beginning unnecessarily, and they still maintain that good status with China no matter what.
So the people there, the coronavirus didn't make people think twice about the Chinese Communist Party?
In the beginning, the people were very upset that Moon Jae-in didn't like stop the flights coming from China like America did. But, you know, Moon Jae-in also successfully able to curve it down right away. So people are also not really impressed by their own government. Koreans more like, there's an expression like a really boiling hot, not stove, but like something very boils quickly.
Oh, like putting a frog in boiling water.
No, more like, no, it's like a really pan. Like, if you have eaten like Korean food, like sundubu jjigae or something, it's more in a like stone. Like, something is like taking longer to heat it up and taking longer to like cool the food.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another like pen, like in Korea we have, it's really quick to boil and they're really quick to like getting cool. So Koreans like personality, like they're like really can go in one extreme like one day and the other way in the other day. They just go back and forth very, very fast. America is a big country. It takes a while for us to move to something slowly, gradually. But Korea is such a small country, you know. If I don't go to Korea for like one, even half like year, I don't like follow the most of the trends. Like, I don't know what happened. It just moves so fast. Yeah. It is the speed that, you know, the most common words in Korea is like "빨리 빨리." It's like fast, fast. That is the most like common word that is spoken in Korea. We always say like "빨리 빨리." So everyone, like even people's opinion, like moves that fast. Like one day good, one day bad, like that.
Yeah, this whole like pro North Korea, pro Chinese Communist Party thing has seemed to happen pretty quickly.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't remember that when we were there, and was it 2016?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it wasn't like that at all. And no. I spoke with a woman who was the ambassador to South Korea under Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, like, her being the U.S. ambassador, like, she was like a rock star. And, like, everybody knew her name. People would go up to her on the street, want to take photos with her.
Wow.
Like, people loved Americans. And that was, you know, less than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, completely flipped. And, like, I don't like, what did we do?
And now there's so many demonstrations in Korea to asking the U.S. Army base to leave, even though U.S. is there to protect them from the North attack, right? North Korea attacking so much. And even though America saved them from the Korean War, like, they just, like, hate Americans right now.
But we've done so much for Korea. Like, you know those little hot dogs that you guys have in, like, the hot pot? That's from us.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Korean Army pot.
Huh? Yeah.
Good stuff.
Army okay. Still, yeah.
Well, so I imagine the U.S. has to be really concerned with the fact that North Korea, South Korea, and China might become more closely allied. That'll completely change the balance of power in the Asia Pacific, and especially for Japan.
Mm-hmm. Japan's going to be left alone. Like, I can, like, send you the very thoughtful article on the foreign policy the other day. It is talking about that, like, how the close relationship now that South Korea and China has. They discuss everything with China, and they don't, on the surface, they try to, like, consider, like, America to be their ally, but Moon Jae-in is not. He's completely pro-Chinese regime and North Korean regime. So, you know, Japan's gonna be really left alone in that, like, entire, like, the ocean. They will be just alone there. And I just can't imagine if South Korea becomes like the Vietnam case, right? The South Vietnam was really wealthy and North wasn't, and North promised that we were gonna invade like South Vietnam. And as soon as America left, they did invade and make everything communism.
Do you think North Korea still wants to invade South Korea then?
I don't think at this point they don't even have to invade South Korea. Just Moon Jae-in is wanting to take the country and to Kim Jong-un. Like, he's offering his country to Kim Jong-un, right? So he doesn't even need that anymore. It's just more like, Moon Jae-in is like offering his country to Kim Jong-un in all the time, all this time. And that is life goal. And all this party in the Democratic Party in South Korea, that's what they're doing too. They are discussing making the lands like public own, and they try to reform so many like laws in Korea, try to become more like communist. And I don't think it's at this point it's impossible for South Korea to become communist or socialist. And then like think about China and South Korea and North Korea all become this communist, and it is going to be a big threat to Japan for sure.
Jeez, it's hard to think about. I mean, you know, as someone who's lived in America almost all his life, like it's very difficult to like conceive that a liberal democracy would just be like freedoms. Like, what are they for?
Just a different idea, you know. Mm.
Yeah, they're equally good.
Yeah, just diversity.
But I mean, people forget that like if you look at, you know, there's about 200 countries in the world, right? Mm. And if you look at like the typical country, like the average country. Mm-hmm. Is a dictatorship. Like the liberal democracies are very much in the minority.
Yeah.
And, you know, dictatorships to varying degrees are, that's most countries.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if you merging North Korea and South Korea, like what do you get when you merge? Like the average of a liberal democracy and a dictatorship is basically like a form of dictatorship.
Right. I mean, like, it is not rare. It is not like hard to imagine. Just look at Venezuela. They democratically, like, you know, elected their dictator. And the country was so doing well. They were so financially, economically doing well. Now look at them. People are dying from starvation. So, I mean, South Korea, too. Moon Jae-in didn't have to do anything. People love him. People want Moon Jae-in to rule the country and the party to rule the country. So I'm sure the next president will come from the Moon Jae-in's side of line. Okay. Then his legacy will continue. And the word, like when Kim Dae-jung first time, when he did that, like, you know, sympathizing dictatorship with Kim Jong-un, accepting Kim Jong-il back then was Kim Jong-il, right? Accepting this political difference as a diversity, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. So this kind of the world is like rewarding this behavior for the politicians to accept any difference and respecting it. So I think, you know, it's not an impossible scenario for South Korea to become Venezuela, in my opinion, because look at even now South Korea says like in 12 years, their GDP is the lowest. And the country's economy is crumbling in South Korea because they are trying to all like making public owned and like, you know, make so much like restriction for businesses in South Korea. The economy can't grow anymore.
So what would you recommend if you meet a South Korean person who's like, oh yeah, North Korea is just diversity. Kim Jong-un's actually kind of cute.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Well, I mean, that's why I left. I don't see the future. It legitimately scares me. North Korea wasn't like that. Like until Kim Il-sung came and people like fed into it and believed it and didn't speak for their rights and wasn't aware how precious freedom was, right? So I think it is scary when the mass public is moving towards that very dangerous an ideology. But I think it just, there's no way I can convince them anymore. It's like, I mean, I tell them that how I lived in North Korea, how we are being treated. There's entire countries sealed by the wire, electrified wire fences. When people say, oh, there is a political prison camp in North Korea, so no, it's like entire country is a political prison camp. No one can have a passport and leave the country. That is a prison, right? No one has the freedom to wear what clothes they can wear. No one has the freedom to cut what the haircut they want to get. They don't even have the freedom to what movie they want to watch. I mean, what is that? That is more oppressive than the prisons in America. When people tell me the prison life in America and like other countries, I'm like, that sounds really nice. I wish like my country was treating us at least like how they treated the inmates here. I would never have escaped. And most of us never would have escaped. But they don't even treat us like the prisoners here in these countries. Like one of the executions that my mom saw was this young man in his 20s ate a cow because he had a TB and he was on the verge of starvation to death. So he ate the cow that was owned by, you know, cows are owned by the state in North Korea, all the lands, everything owned by the state, right? So everything government owns it. So he ate the cow in the farm and they say, oh, cow is very valuable. They need to work in the farm. So they kill the young man. So our life is literally less valuable than cows in North Korea. That's how people are treated. So, I mean, like, how do I make people to, I mean, and also I'm not the only one saying this. United Nations did a mass report and saying this. And still, so somehow people think North Korea is a very, you know, socialist paradise that better than America.
All right. Have you met Americans who have the same viewpoint that North Korea is? I mean, yeah, but like, yeah. I'm curious, like, this cannot be common. This cannot be happening in America, too.
Yeah, it is. Just don't. Do you know about tankies, Chris?
I know about tankies, yeah. But like with North Korea?
There's apparently a subset called Norkies who are like pro, and they don't call it North Korea, they call it DPRK all the time. Like,
The people, like, if you go see the like articles, like the blogs they made about me, you think those are like North Koreans, right? But those are like Americans who contact the journalists to write this story. They like they keep giving these stories and force them and threaten them to write this story. And these are like literally Americans, some of them living in Washington, D.C.
The about you?
Yeah. And about other like people from North Korea.
So they think that you're lying about North Korea?
Yeah, they think North Korea is the model for the humanity to copy. You know, it is really the best leadership they are showing to the world. And that, you know, it's really the paradise that this like corrupt capitalism is, you know, brainwashing all of us. And I am the puppet of that Western propaganda to lie to people. So they completely promoting this like idealized North Korean dictatorship, romanticizing it. And, you know, so many young people get tricked into it, like especially the college students. I have so many enemies, like the from the people like Marxist, Leninist.
In the U.S.?
Yeah. In the Europe, in South America, Europe. I mean, pretty much anywhere in the world. From like all these people called like Marxist, Leninist, you know, Maoist, and also Kim Il-sung, you know, the Juche ideologists, all of them. It's just unthinkable how much this ideology spread and how much hate going against the freedom democracy, you know, supports this authoritarian government. It's like unthinkable.
I never imagined like believing in freedom and democracy would become a far right view.
Yeah, it's like becoming believing freedom and democracy and human rights is becomes you being greedy and greedy capitalist. That is what it is right now.
I think Tommy Wiseau said it best when he said, I'm fed up with this world.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of scary because in South Korea, this is, when I arrived in South Korea, it wasn't like this at all. It wasn't like, I almost don't recognize a country at this point. I'm not sure America because I never lived here that long, but it's just how fast the world like in South Carolina moved to this way. It was just so rapid. And I just don't know how it was possible for a country to shift this like far like this, like in short amount of time. And that is why for me, it looks, seems very possible that South Korea to be like Venezuela or the Vietnam, because as I told you last time, South Korea joined the US and deported North Korean defectors who wanted to be free in South Korea, and they sent us back to North Korea to be killed. That was the first deportation the South Korean government made. So for me, they are not even a government. It's like almost a regime. It's another like a criminal regime that exists in South Korea, and people don't know that. They think anyone says I'm a Democrat, it's a sign of being a virtuous and good, right?
Wow, yeah. I mean, if South Korea is deporting North Korean defectors, where can they go then? Like, where, like, you know?
No, they go to North Korea, they handed them to North Korean authority, and they got executed after that.
Jeez.
Right, but I mean, North Koreans, like you can either defect to China, which is what you did, and it was horrible, or you can defect to South Korea, which is now also horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it just seems like it's worse and worse. I mean, on the plus side, Kim Jong-un is very cute.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
What is this world?
I know. I never imagined in my life that South Korea was going to join China to this deportation. And I just never in my life ever that thought it was possible in this democracy for a government, for just president to decide, I'm sending these guys back like that. Just I never thought, and also the world was going to accept it. I never knew that world was going to just like bury and not even talk about it because it's a like Democratic Party in South Korea does that.
I mean, how do you go from, like in a few years, you go from Girls' Generation to Kim Jong-un is cute. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it becomes a crash landing on you. I know, but it's like, it's such a... I mean, there are so many shows in South Korea now, it's like, you know, romanticizing North Korean dictatorship and the system. So, but like that, I mean, that was on the, even think about the Parasite, right? That won the Oscar. It is in a way as someone like who benefited from this free market. It is so sad to see that movie because I don't want North Koreans to see Parasite. It's so embarrassing because it's not true. Like, if people were able to drive in the house and cook and all that stuff, if you were, like, working in a, like, grocery store, you would not be living that way. They could, these people could not even, like, afford, like, pizza boxes in the Parasite if you saw the movie, right? So, I mean, I just, like, think it just the world somehow is very being twisted and, like, rewarding something is that not true. And like, that's why, like, oh, even the Paris, I'm glad there was an Asian representation. But, like, if people ask me, would you send that movie to North Korea? It's like, no way. Because that's not true. Just, it's so factually wrong movie. It's so factually wrong political message. But that kind of messages are being welcomed by the people these days. Those messages are getting really received well, and, you know.
Yeah, what did the director say?
Oh, that we all live in a country called capitalism.
Yeah.
And he was saying that's why it's so successful.
Yeah, because he was talking about why, you know, Americans liked Parasite, with a South Korean movie.
It's because...
Resonates.
Because capitalism is horrible and, you know, we should move towards North Korea.
Yep. That's it. So it's kind of irony, you know. It's just like anything you say, like, oh, I hate, like... capitalism, I hate free market, I hate free democracy and freedom, then you become somehow like hero, a virtuous hero. So it is, yeah, it is just sad. The whole thing is really sad and it's so uncertain how it's going to turn out. I mean, America, I have more hope because this country is a bigger, right? You can like go to different states if things really, really bad. But in South Korea, the entire countryside is not even as big as California itself. It's a very small country. So they can just switch like one day to complete communism and like one day to free democracy. Like you just never know. But right now, for now, they are like getting into this deep, dark hole of this like socialism and communism and dictatorship idea.
So I'm wondering, you know, for North Korean defectors like you were, North Korean defectors now, what is their situation?
In South Korea?
Or South Korea and China, like, are people still trying, because the coronavirus has locked down a lot of these borders, right? Are they stuck? Are they still trying to get out of North Korea? What's happening?
They are stuck in China a lot, most of them, and they are getting caught by the Chinese authority, and they are being deported back to North Korea. So it is easily, they cannot really get on the train, and like, there are not many like buses that they can take, and there's so much restriction. And, you know, in China, right, there's like social credit system, and they cannot even take a train or bus without the ID cards in China. So, I mean, North Korea don't have like, you know, freedom of movement within North Korea, but China in a way too, if you don't have ID, you cannot really move within the country. So that makes it really difficult for North Korean defector to escape and move around in China. And so it's very, escape from North Korea became very hard. And also, yeah, so Kim Jong-un made it so much harder to escape. He tried to, you know, really use a fear and manipulation to, you know, to the soldiers to catch all this defection. And he would say, like, to this border guard, say, oh, if you, like, catch this like maybe 5, 10 like 7 like defectors who try to escape, you are gonna like join the communist party. So sometimes just like guards lie to people like, oh, if you're in South Korea, I'm in China, I can help you, and then he reports to the party and then they get like arrested. So people between these border guards and people's distrust became so high, no one can trust anyone anymore. Because the guards trying to join the party and get some benefit by catching this defection. And defectors don't know, I mean, the escapees don't know who to trust. So escape became really hard. And also the lives for defectors, the life in South Korea is hard. That's why last year there was a son and a toddler who were starved to death in the middle of Seoul. Because like the government completely ignored them.
I mean... I can't imagine, like those guards, what kind of bastard is it that would, like, to get promoted in the party is like, well, I'm going to get this these North Korean defectors executed. That's, yeah, that's worth it to me. I'd like a promotion in the party.
Well, you'd think they wouldn't have to do any work, because why would anyone ever want to leave North Korea? Because it's the best country, Chris.
Yeah,
I'm fed up with this world.
Yeah, but you can't really blame the guards too, because if you are not secured your pathway after military, your life becomes very, very hard too. You are not able to feed yourself and your family. So they have to join the party and somehow find a way in the system to survive, because life is not easy there. It's not like here. Even if you work for some grocery store, you still can find food, right? What didn't I believe in South Korea is that if you work one day in a restaurant, for 10 hours, you can buy 5-10 kilograms of rice and you can live a few weeks with that one day of work. I mean, if you try not to eat steak and all those food, right? But in North Korea, it's impossible to do that. You cannot go somewhere in the construction site and work and get paid. No one pays you. The government salary a month as a doctor, you cannot even able to buy 1 kilogram rice. Wow. So you cannot live with the government salary or anywhere. That's why these border guards have to do something to survive too.
That's why the doctors end up selling meth.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And hey, that system might be coming to South Korea and maybe someday America. So, yeah, everyone watching, educate yourselves. Fight the commies, the dirty reds.
Yeah, it is so sad. It's, yeah. So that says, I think other than Kim Jong-un, no one is winning in that system. It's people will think elites even get benefits. No, Jang Song-taek, the second power, the uncle of the dear leader, got executed in an aircraft. He became a dust. That's how cruel his execution was. It was not trying to shoot him, just made the aircraft and made his flesh became of different pieces. I think later we heard that they fed him to dogs or something.
Wow. Well, Anmin, do you think there are some people in South Korea who are kind of not as enamored with China and North Korea? Because in the recent parliamentary elections, there were two North Korean defectors who got voted into parliament, right? Tae Yong-ho and Ji Sung-ho. So is there kind of a backlash against this? Is that happening at all?
Well, if it was, then because they did an election between parties, right? The in the right side and the left side, and the left side won the massively. They got the most of the seat in the General Assembly. And with one, the Sung-ho that who I work with, he won by a seat. The party won that how many seats. That's why he didn't win for the election. So that almost doesn't count. We cannot really know by his election to be seeing how South Koreans feel about North Korean freedom. And with Tae Yong-ho, as you know, that he won in Gangnam district. Gangnam district is where people engage in a very active economic activities. They pay taxes.
It's got a style.
Right. It got some style for sure economically. And they do contribute to economy. They do have their businesses. They're very actively engaged in a part of South Korea. So I'm sure anyone that lives in the Gangnam pays tax. So they know the value of free market and the entrepreneurship and businesses. So that's why it makes so sense, because Tae Yong-ho promised them he's going to cut taxes. No one said that in Democratic Party. He's the only one coming from Pyongyang saying, I'm going to cut your taxes. I'm going to promote the business. I'm going to, have the entrepreneurs here to succeed and making a friendly business environment for people to get jobs and hired. And, we can have the economy. So I think it was almost an accident that he won in that district. As far as I know, no North Korean defector can afford to live in Gangnam, because it's a very expensive part of the land. Rents are so high, everything is so high in there. It's almost as high as Manhattan. Houses are, apartments are so expensive. So it's not I think, for sure, those And also the thing that he was different, like he wasn't like general like a defector. He was the one of the highest ranking defectors from North Korea. And he was the diplomat to the UK. He speaks fluent English and Chinese. He was foreign educated. He was really top elite. So I think that's why South Korean chose him, not because like, and also that only one district chose him, but I don't think Gangnam is like representation of entire South Korea because it's a very special district for even Koreans. It's a very different from the other parts of the Korea.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeongmi, that was...
I think Chris is really depressed now.
I'm so sorry, Chris.
I'm depressed and angry.
But I feel like I understand a lot more about like how people are thinking and how, you know, just the mentality in South Korea has changed just in the last 4 years since I've been there. Yeah. And like, you know, how if people in South Korea can think that Kim Jong-un is cute or cool,
yeah,
like that influences young people and that influences their politics. And then that ends up pushing South Korea closer to North Korea. And so I think, you know, really the solution is for South Korea to elect their own leader who's both, you know, pro-freedom and also very cute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, where's the cute part coming in? Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually think that's like we're talking about Kim's sister a lot. I think that's why in the West, like people have been, she's been getting a lot of kind of press because people think she's, if not pretty, just like cool in a way, right? Because she looks kind of badass.
Well, there was also this like element of like, oh, you know, North Korea might have a female leader before the United States.
Oh my God, yeah. That kills me. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever says that should talk with someone who's actually from North Korea.
Well, I mean, this idea of like, if you are the woman of color and like minority and like not being white and man and not being a capitalist, is like you gotta be a good person, is like so absurd to me. So it just, that's why it's so absurd. Like media said, oh, Kim Yo Jong, there North Korea might have, you know, fourth Kim, but it's gonna be woman, you know, she's gonna be the ruler of the country. That's how cool is that? You know, they are so much advanced than the rest of the Western democracy.
Oh God.
And it almost just saddens me. Like how simplistic, I mean, I thought like the Western people knows how to think critically, right? We are here going to school to learn how to think. But if that's how you learn to think, it's just so, such a failure of the education system here. You got to think like better than that, you know?
Well, it's partly because critical thinking in the West has turned into being critical of the establishment.
You were going to say critical of thinking.
Oh,
yeah. That would have been way more clever. Yeah. That is not what I said. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, well, gosh, there is none righteous. No, not one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm so sorry,
Yeongmi, for joining us. We should get you on again soon.
Yes, that sounds amazing. I will send you some more videos of how South Koreans are worshiping Kim Jong-un, so you can actually see your eyes. Because until you see, you might not able to picture that, like how these kids who were benefiting this democracy and free market and actually doing this stuff, but it is so like possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't like believe it until I saw it. I was like, wow, this is possible.
Well, that is a real warning for the United States, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, take care.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Bye. Bye.
Are you okay, Chris?
Will anything ever be okay again after that?
I feel like the South Korea news really hit you much harder than when you talked to Gordon Channing about it. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, something about hearing from like a North Korean defector who's like, I was there. Listen to me. It's not good. And then people are like, you're a liar. You know, that's just, it lands differently
the
than
CIA
Corbyn.
Must have paid you to pretend to defect from North
gosh.
Korea.
Oh,
and
my God.
Watch your mother get raped and all that
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
I mean, actually, her story of how she escaped North Korea is incredible. And we didn't get into it, you know, with her on the podcast here, but, you had interviewed her, Chris, in 2018 to talk about that.
That's right. And if you're interested in seeing that episode, I'll provide a link to that episode of China Unscripted.
That one's China Uncensored.
That one on China Uncensored, you know, I'm not doing well right now.
So we'll put a link on our YouTube of this podcast.
Yeah. Or if you do a Google search for China Uncensored, Yongmi Park, it'll come up. It was an incredible story, and once you hear it, it will make the idea that someone wants to be more like North Korea sound insane.
You only had to flee across the Gobi Desert to get to freedom. Yeah. I don't really understand the South Korean thing about Kim Jong-un. Like, South Korea, they have so many boy bands. Can't they go back to liking, let's go back to liking BTS. Is that not enough for people?
I guess. You know, BTS, clearly gateway to Kim Jong-un.
I don't see it.
You don't? Really? It's just me?
Well, you know, I am kind of glad that Youngmi confirmed my suspicions about crash landing on you.
Oh.
Because when I first saw that, I was like, this is odd. Uh-huh. It almost seems like this is something meant to make you think that North Korea is, you know, not that
so
bad. Yeah.
It's amazing the power media has over how people think. Like, it's just presented as, like, such an obvious truth that, like, there's no way the real world could be different from what you're seeing on TV or in a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we live in a world where there's so much dishonest reporting. And I'm not just talking about, like, oh, you know, the U.S. fake news or whatever. I mean, like, if you look at media around the world, whether it's Chinese state-run media or whatever, like, there's a lot of false information being propagated, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that one thing people are have their guard up more for media now. But, you know, TV and movies, it's like your brain is just like open to the ideas that are in these fictional shows, these dramas, these comedies. And it's just like the ideas from those are in a way more influential than what's being told to you in the news.
I mean, I think that's true, although there's also, it only goes so far. I mean, I don't think people watched Breaking Bad and they're were like, I'm gonna start my own meth empire, you know what I mean? Like,
now
that's the kind violence comes from video games.
I have to correct you, there have been instances where people try to create blue meth to match, because in Breaking Bad, Walter White, like, his meth is blue, so people try to like make their meth blue now in some cases. And there's even a store in Albuquerque, New Mexico that sells blue rock candy that looks like Walter White's meth, and it's like a tourist attraction.
Okay, that's rock candy.
I know, but like, I'm just telling you that there's influence from Breaking Bad.
Well, so
like Albuquerque, New Mexico tourist site and people who are already meth dealers.
Yeah.
Well, all right, but obviously the Chinese Communist Party has put a lot of effort into actually influencing Hollywood.
Yes.
But so the Communist Party knows the power that it does have, and it obviously sees that as something worthwhile to control.
Yes, although I think the Hollywood thing is kind of partially more about not criticizing or not making, like, they don't want to become the way the Soviet Union was in the 80s,
like,
right?
The bad guy.
They're always the bad guy. They very successfully become never the bad guy, and in some cases, the hero.
Right. I mean, definitely, you know, I've seen a lot of movies over the last 5 years where it turns out that the bad guy is the American. And I haven't seen any new movies in the last 5 years, if not longer, where the bad guy was someone from mainland China.
Often China
racist.
Somehow saves the day. Like, kind of in Gravity, in The Martian.
2012.
Skyscraper.
They were also a little bit of a bad guy too in 12.
But weren't the arcs that eventually
they were being
people?
Built there, but it was also like, hey, thank you, Chinese workers who built this, you don't get to go on board.
No.
So there was still like a little bit of that.
And there's what's the one that's a city of 1,000 planets, starts with a V?
Valerian.
Yeah. And like the intro montage for that, it's like, you know, shows the space program building up from today to whatever the year is in the future. And it's like Chinese astronauts and the Chinese, the PRC flag on the spacecraft. Just like these little subtle things that, you know, China is the future. It's pretty.
Looper, too.
That's like, right, Looper.
It was based on a book, and the book was set in France.
Right, he goes to France in the future. And in the movie, someone's like, he's like, I'm from the future. Go to Shanghai.
Well, it's Bruce Willis's character talking to Bruce Willis as a younger man.
Yes.
But that's because they actually got funding from a production company, a Chinese production company. So
yeah. Excellent. And that's how it happens.
Yeah. Well, not if Ted Cruz has something to say about it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get this. He's pushing a bill that would make it so the Department of Defense won't like work with a Hollywood studio that like edits or censors on behalf of China. But is the Pentagon making movies with Hollywood?
Think about how many movies involve some kind of thing involving the U.S. military.
Ah.
Like helicopter, you know, portraying something that has to do with like U.S. military in some way.
And so they like get some information.
Yeah, like
research.
They have like advisors who, or like maybe they can borrow the aircraft or something like that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, so the Department of Defense is apparently contributed in some way to like 800 movies.
Oh wow.
So it's not just it's actually a thing. What I don't know if it'll go through, but what also got me about it is they wanted to call it the Script Act. So they call it something 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 and Protecting Talkies Act.
Yeah. But if they called it Protecting Movies, it'd be the Script'em Act, which is just not a good name.
Script'em.
Yeah. So I like two things about Ted Cruz. I like the Script Act, and I like his beard.
I do have to say that he looks better with the beard, but it wasn't like very high bar. I mean, he did also go to Hong Kong. You have to give him that.
Yeah.
That's true. No, he's actually done some stuff standing up for freedom and liberty. I mean, you got to give him credit for that.
Ted Cruz, if you're watching, we'd love to have you on.
I'm sure he's watching our podcast.
You know, he's already sat through like an hour and 15 minutes of our podcast.
How else is he so on point with China if not for watching this?
Yes, we're the only way that anybody is going to know anything about China.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, we were criticizing the Chinese Communist Party before it was cool.
It's still debatable about whether it's cool.
Judging from what Yongmi said, I don't know what the kids today are thinking.
I wonder how we'll be perceived like a decade from now.
Like
China Uncensored and China Unscripted.
Oh, I imagine, you know, they'll be objects of worship.
Yes, that's what I'd like to think as well.
Hopefully not the enemies of the people, right?
Yeah. Hey, how's your sprinting coming?
My sprinting?
Yeah, just in case. We need it in case we ever go back to Hong Kong and have to deal with the Hong Kong police.
I have been working out in case but like, you know, I didn't expect us to not be able to go back to Hong Kong because of a global pandemic caused by the Chinese Communist Party. That's the thing I didn't really, you know, factor into my calculations.
2020.
I was like, we'll probably be, you know, back in Hong Kong for the 1-year anniversary of the, you know, extradition bill protests, which is coming up. I don't think it's going to happen anymore.
No, probably not.
Even if we somehow managed to get to Hong Kong, we'd have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like in like September. But yeah, we've still got quite a ways to go, I think.
Why September?
Oh, because like...
National Day?
Well, yeah, like if we want to go to Hong Kong around October 1st, we'd probably try to get there
October
around September.
No, I was thinking of the June protests.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely not going to happen. We're not even going to be able to leave New York by June 4th. Wow. This year has definitely turned out to be so different because, like, you know, in April we were going to be in South Korea.
We were.
And then coronavirus. Yeah.
If only we'd been able to go, we could have swung the election.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Or get stuck in South Korea as the pandemic sweeps the world.
Yeah.
A pandemic of communism. Filthy communism. I'm working on a new persona for the shows.
I'm not sure I like it. No? To be honest. No.
Why? Are you one of them?
Smash cut to Chris talking about eating people.
like Alex Jones?
That's where I thought you were going with this.
Oh, no. That was like, 1950s red paranoia.
Yeah. We're facing the threat of the dirty reds. They're like a radio announcer stuff, right?
Can I get you guys to stop saying dirty reds?
Why?
Because somebody's going to take that out of context. And what? We're going to get in trouble.
Okay, sure.
Wait, you would be in trouble for saying dirty reds? Not like praised for like, oh,
did
hey,
you not
that
hear,
guy's pretty smart.
Did you not hear like the last 30 minutes of what Yomi was saying? I believe you did, because that's what sunk you into this
depression.
Those
people, their applause means nothing for me. Uh-huh. No, their boos mean nothing to me, because I've seen what makes them clap. That was from Rick and Morty.
Okay.
More or less.
Okay.
Okay.
I haven't watched enough Rick and Morty.
All right. I think we've had enough.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for watching and listening. We're filming this now for YouTube. So if you actually want to see the conversation, check us out on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, hey, you could be just listening to us on like Apple Podcast or whatever.
Or Stitcher or Spotify or, you know.
It's iTunes. What's what it's called?
Oh, yeah. iTunes.
No, now it's Apple Podcast.
There's also Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know.
Many ways to digest us.
Yeah. And let us know what you think of the new format in the comments. And if there's anything you want us to talk about on future episodes.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for watching. Once again, I'm Chris Chappell.
I'm Shelley Jung.
And I'm Matt Ganeshta.
We'll talk to you next time.